A federal agency weighs in on the Connolly Lake Hydro Project, and a longtime Haines resident dies after a weekend accident. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Connolly Lake Hydro Project hit a bit of a snag last week when the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission decided the company pursuing the project had to use a different type of licensing process than it requested. Goat Lake Hydro, part of Alaska Power and Telephone, has proposed the 12-megawatt hydro project at Connolly Lake, near Chilkoot Lake and River. The federal agency, also called FERC, approved a preliminary permit earlier this year. AP&T then asked the federal agency to allow it to use a traditional licensing process for the application process, but FERC declined that request on August 31st. AP&T said it wanted to use the traditional process because it would be faster and cost less for the company. It also said there was minimal controversy surrounding the project, and it would have little or no impact on the environment and no disputes over studies needed to examine the environmental impacts on the hydro project. Vincent Urick, director of the Division of Hydropower Licensing at FERC, disagreed. He noted that federal and state resource agencies opposed the use of the traditional licensing process, as did Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott, the Haines-Borough Assembly, Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, local conservation groups, and at least 25 individuals who filed comments with the federal agency. Urick wrote that all the comments suggested the resource issues were complex and the level of controversy on the project is high. Resource agencies also suggested there is potential for disputes surrounding environmental studies needed, he said. Urick also brought up another issue with the proposed project. He wrote in his decision that several of the project's primary features would be located on state lands administered on the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve and the Haines State Forest. Urick said the agency is concerned that because of this, AP&T will not be able to gain access to the project site to conduct studies necessary to prepare a license application. Urick said he wants AP&T to document that the state will permit access to the area for studies. If AP&T decides to pursue one of the other types of licensing processes, Urick wants the documentation from these agencies included. Glenn Martin, project manager with AP&T, wrote in an email that the company is still determining what its next step will be in light of the FERC decision. But on Tuesday, the company filed with FERC its six-month progress report, as required under the preliminary permit for the project. The 104-page document outlines studies already conducted or underway and other studies it proposes. Studies already conducted include stream gauging, water quality testing, and biotic sampling at Chilkoot Lake to determine the levels of plankton. Several surveys have also been conducted, including surveys of fish habitat, bald eagle nests, wildlife, wetland delineation, rare plants, and seismic refraction surveys. Most reports from those studies and surveys are due this fall or winter, Martin wrote. Ongoing work includes surveys on the ethnology of the area, cultural resources, and recreation uses, along with bedrock core sampling at the dam and powerhouse sites. No details were given about those studies except that they are expected to be conducted during the next 6 months. AP&T also wrote it anticipates that a license application for the project will be submitted on or before March 1, 2015, although an economic analysis of the project is continuing and a feasibility decision has yet to be made on the project. Longtime Haines resident Ed LaPerry passed away Monday after being involved in a single vehicle accident over the weekend. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe said police received a call on Saturday morning of a car in the ditch near 1 Mile Lutac Road. An officer was first on the scene and said the vehicle was laying on its passenger side. The driver, LaPerry, was the only person in the vehicle. The officer said LaPerry was alert and talking. When EMS personnel arrived a few moments later, Chief Lowe said they were able to help LaPerry from the vehicle and walk him to the ambulance. He remained conscious, although Lowe said it was reported LaPerry was slightly disoriented and did not know how the accident occurred. He was transported to the Haines Clinic and later medevaced to a hospital in Anchorage, where he died Monday morning. Chief Lowe said there is no indication alcohol was involved in the accident. LaPerry was 73 years old. He owned the Captain's Choice Motel in Haines. He previously operated a fish processing plant and owned and operated Chilkoot Lumber Sawmill. The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is seeking more participants for the Local Environmental Observer Program, which collects observations from around the state about unusual or extreme environmental occurrences and changes. Since the program began in January, 130 tribal environmental leaders from 85 communities around the state have registered as LEOs. ANTHC's director for the Center for Climate and Health, Mike Brubaker, says the LEOs serve as central points for collecting observations from everyone in the community.
In some places in the circumpolar north, changes are happening very rapidly, and its elders have a long-term perspective on what's going on and what's unusual and what's important. But even young people have seen sometimes some pretty amazing changes or observed new occurrences, and they're also engaging in their environment in different ways than the elders are.
LEOs are interested in everything from sighting of invasive species, unusual birds, insects, or other wildlife, and changes in wildlife behavior and health to extreme weather events or extreme erosion. The LEOs collect the information, then submit them to a central database where they are listed on the program's website. They can also see if there are any larger environmental trends going on and raise awareness about different topics. None of the communities in our area, Haines, Skagway, or Kluckwan, have registered LEOs. But reports from other areas are documented on the program's website. The easiest way to find the site is by Googling Alaska LEO or through a link on our KHNS News webpage. There are new developments in the battle over a popular fishing area near Sitka. The board of a closed college and a native corporation have filed competing ownership claims. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Sitka's Sheldon Jackson College shuttered its doors about 5 years ago, but its board of trustees continues to operate, managing old debts and property that hasn't yet been sold or given away. That includes Readout Falls, about a 15-minute skiff ride south of the Baranoff Island community. The falls and parts of a same-named lake and bay make up the trustees' 160-acre claim. Readout is a much-used sport and subsistence fishing area.
Our goal is to continue to make available to the general public the access to the subsistence sockeye fishing that is so important to the community.
That's Trustees Board Vice Chairwoman Heather McCarty speaking at a recent press conference. She says the board still has a few $100,000 of debt to pay, but
we will not be using ownership of Readout to develop or change in any way the current use of the property.
Sheldon Jackson trustees filed a claim earlier this year with the Federal Bureau of Land Management, which decides ownership. The trustees do not have the actual title or deed documenting Readout sale from before the United States bought Alaska from Russia, but they recently filed detailed legal paperwork tracing ownership through 1981 when the property was deeded to the college. That claim is countered by Sea Alaska. The Southeast Regional Native Corporation filed for title to an approximately 10-acre site around Readout Falls in the mid-1970s. It's the last part of about 95 cultural and historic sites the corporation requested as part of its Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act land selections. Sea Alaska Executive Vice President Rick Harris says the trustees' claims are for long-gone buildings, not land.
Plus, it ignores the historic Tlingit use before Russian occupancy, during Russian occupancy, and then even after Russian occupancy.
Harris says Sea Alaska can prove Readout is a native cultural and historic site eligible for selection under the Settlement Act. He says the Bureau of Land Management was close to conveying the land when Sheldon Jackson filed its competing claim. College trustees attorney Cabot Christensen says the board decided to speed legal action after Sea Alaska's claim started getting more attention.
We became concerned that the fisheries protection was not going to be sufficient to protect the fisheries program that was ongoing, that's been ongoing there for the last 30 years. And we also became concerned that the public access rights were not being protected.
Sheldon Jackson says it's seeking a partner to share management of the Readout area and eventually take it over. Sea Alaska says it would do a better job working with local officials to maintain access. Harris says the corporation has been negotiating a management and use agreement with Sitka's municipal and tribal governments. He says talks also included the Forest Service, which takes measures to boost sockeye production in the lake.
The Sitka tribe was very clear in its expectation that this site would be one that all of the community would be able to use for subsistence purposes, and that the fisheries enhancement projects that are currently on the site are ongoing.
Critics have worried Sea Alaska might lose Redoubt, as well as other lands, if it failed and went bankrupt. Harris says the corporation is financially secure, and fishermen should worry more about a possible Sheldon Jackson takeover.
They're an organization that is, I will say, a defunct institution, and it has creditors. We don't understand what their relationship is, and if Sheldon Jackson actually receives title, I'm not certain how they can guarantee that the property will not be transferred to another entity.
It's unclear how long federal officials will take to sort through the claims. In the meantime, it will continue to be managed by the U.S. Forest Service. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Sitka.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.